Oh, it's so good to see you this morning. Welcome to the Edge Church. And let me invite you to grab those notes that you got there in your outline. Hey, today we're continuing our series, The Joy Ride. And this morning I was just reminded of my father who used to say to me, Ryan, do you need an attitude adjustment? Ryan, do you need an attitude adjustment? That was my dad's way of saying that if I did not get my act together, that he was going to put a whooping on me. A whooping. Now, I didn't get a lot of spankings as a kid. I don't want to make it sound like I got beat all the time. That's certainly not the case. But from time to time, my dad did give me some spankings. And I was always so afraid of my dad because my dad was huge. My dad was a very, very big man. He weighed between 350 and 400 pounds, depending on what diet he was on. And he was just a big dude. And he had big, long belts. You know, and if I really pushed the line, and I didn't adjust my attitude, then he would send me to his room to get one of the belts that I was about to get a spanking with. And there was like the little skinny black belt that was like lightning fast, you know? And that one could pack a punch. Then there was like the big diesel type belt, like the cowboy belt. And it was heavy. And it took a little longer to kind of get all the SWAT motion down. But boy, it packed a punch. And there were all these different types of belts and that I remember. And my dad was so big that his belts were massively long, and they were like bull whips, man. He could have stood across the room and popped me with them. Most of the time I chose to adjust my attitude myself, but from time to time I had to have a little help. You know, an attitude is a powerful thing. It is a very, very powerful thing. Attitude can draw people to us, or it can repel people from us. It can be our best friend or our worst enemy. Attitude is a huge thing. And man, listen, if we're going to succeed in the spiritual arena, and we really want to become all that God intends for us to become, we have to get this attitude thing down correctly. The Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 4 gives us some powerful, inspiring words to help us tweak, to fine-tune our attitudes. And I believe that if we can make some small little changes, that we can have some massive, big implications. We've been in a series over the last few weeks from the book of Philippians, verses chapters 3 and 4, and we've been talking about the joy ride, the life of joy that God wants us to have. And Paul speaks about the attitude in relation to the life of joy. And he begins here in verse 7, don't worry about anything, but instead pray about everything. And tell God what you need and thank Him for all that He's done. And if you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than any human mind can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Now he says, beginning here, that we have to focus our prayers. Focus our prayers. If we want to have a Christ-honoring attitude, we got to focus our prayers. How do we do that? It's interesting. This word anxious is a word that means to have a divided mind. It's kind of like you're distracted. You're thinking about one thing. You're thinking about another thing. You can't remember whatever people said previously. And you're just kind of all over the place. I kind of think about like preschool moms when I go to Chick-fil-A, you know? They've got one eye on the playground, they're listening for their kids, they're watching their kids, and then they're trying to have another conversation, and their minds are divided. And if you have little kids, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You're not focused on one thing, you're kind of focused on everything, therefore you're focused on nothing. And when we are anxious, we have a divided mind. We can't stay focused on anything. Paul says, listen, don't be anxious, but pray about it. In other words, transform your worry list into your prayer list. It's amazing when we begin to take the things that we worry the most about and we begin to transpose those into the things that we begin to pray about, it's amazing what God will do in our own hearts. Somebody says, well, I don't even know where to pray. I don't know where to pray or what to pray. I don't know what to tell God. Listen, start with the things that worry you. That ought to be plenty to start talking to God about. Just start telling Him, man, I'm worried about this, and I'm worried about that. God, I don't know about this. And this amazing supernatural
type of thing begins to happen. Notice he says here, don't worry about anything. And then in verse 7, his peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. In other words, no longer will you be distracted or worry, but you will begin to have peace. You see, God's divine coping method for us is rather than worrying, it is to pray. And when we pray, it's more than just, oh, I needed somebody to talk to, and so I told God this. And it's more than just good psychology. Listen, when you begin to talk to God, God does something supernatural in your life that allows you to begin to experience peace. So if you want to have peace in your life, you got to have prayer. Prayer is the precursor to peace. And when we do that, it begins to focus our lives. Oh my goodness, this is so good. You know, anxiety and worry are happening at an ever-increasing level in our culture and society. The Mayo Clinic came out a couple of years ago, and they said that about 85% of the people that they see deal with directly or indirectly worry, stress, anxiety-related health complications. In other words, the problem's not genetics. The problem is not even infections. It is, most of the time, it is people hurting themselves because they are so anxious and so freaked out about everything that's going on that many times these other ailments come, but it all begins with people overwhelmed by the burdens of life. In fact, a leading medical journal entitled, Is Stress the Cause of All Disease? Said that at the beginning of the 20th century, bacteria was considered to be the center of most disease. But now in the 21st century, the issue is not bacteria, it is stress and anxiety and other related issues that begin with our own mental problems and our own capacities to worry. And so the end result of being overly anxious and not praying and letting God release those burdens in our lives is ulcers and cancer and gastrointestinal problems and drug and alcohol abuse and arthritis and heart disease and so many other things. It's important that we begin to download these truths today about what God says to us about prayer, because we all want to be healthy people, and we want to be healthy spiritually. We want to be healthy physically. We want to be healthy emotionally. And oh my goodness, prayer is such a huge part. It's a beginning. We need to focus our prayers rather than living by fear and by worry. This word guard, it says here, the peace will guard your hearts, is a military word that's used to describe the work of a soldier or like a police officer. And when I think about guards, I think about going to Denver International Airport. Man, they got some guards there. There is some tight security. And for that matter, almost every airport in America. I mean, things have changed so much. It's amazing that the 10th anniversary of 9/11 is coming up this year. It just seems like that happened just not that long ago. But before 9/11, you could just get on a plane almost, you know, very easily. You just kind of walk through the metal detector, give the guard a high five, and go get on the airplane, right? And then shortly thereafter, man, they had, like, the National Guard was there at all the metal detectors with their camos and their M16s. I started feeling guilty, and I don't even own a weapon. You know, it's amazing. And they started doing pat-downs and full body scans of little grandmothers that are, like, 89 years old, you know? And then they started doing the same thing to, like, preschoolers with little Barbie dolls. You know, it was amazing to see what was going on. You got to take everything out of your bag. And the threats haven't stopped. And the security is impeccable. I mean, it is amazing. We had the shoe bomber, Robert Reed, that guy that tried to light his sneakers on fire and blow up that airplane. That is crazy, isn't it? But you know what? That's not near as crazy as the underwear bomber. Of all the places in the world to put a bomb, why would anyone put the bomb in their drawers? I mean, come on now. That guy sewed plastic explosives in his boxer briefs. Man, that's not right. Of all the places to put a bomb. And thank goodness those passengers saw him. I don't know how he was going to light that thing. You know, I was a little worried when they started making us take our shoes off after the shoe bomber. And then I heard about the underwear bomber. I was trying to put that together. I was not sure where that was going. We have amazing security. I want to tell you something, though. There is nothing like the security of God. There's nothing like the security of God that begins to cover our hearts, begins to protect us from the attacks of the evil one, begins to change our mind and our perspective. God is the one who begins to protect us. And he guards our hearts and our minds as we live in Christ Jesus. So we need to pray instead of worry, and it will bring peace into our lives. And the more things that we move from our worry list to our prayer list, then the greater ability we will have to live a life of freedom and not bombarded by the worries of this world. You know, 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. In other words, we ought to be praying all the time. We pray in the morning and in the evening time and during the middle of the day. You know, prayer is a beautiful thing. We can pray anytime. We can pray at church, but we can pray at home. We can pray in private devotional times where we're just alone with God. But oh my goodness, we can pray just walking down the hall at work or going to a lunch meeting. We may not have 30 minutes to talk to God, but we may just have time for that one sentence, that one statement, that one worry. And to pray at all times means that we're praying at the beginning of the day, at the end of the day. In other words, it's just a characteristic of our life. We're praying at the beginning, we're praying at the end. Every time a worry or a concern comes into our mind, we just stop and we just pray. And listen, that's the life of the follower of Jesus Christ. The person that is totally dependent upon Jesus Christ is the person that just makes prayer a consistent part of their daily routine. It's just kind of what we do. And as a result of that, we have the peace of Christ begins to guard our hearts. Now, the God doesn't promise to answer every prayer request the exact way we pray about it. The Bible does tell us that God will give us supernatural peace of mind. And this is something that's so much bigger than just, I needed to be able to get some things off my chest, man. When you begin to talk to God, he begins to lift the burdens supernaturally, spiritually, in your life. He begins to lift the weight that is weighing you down off of your back, and you begin to experience freedom. And I got to tell you, if you're going to have a great attitude, then we got to begin to give God the burdens of our lives. We really do. Dr. Walford says that this surpassing peace is beyond human comprehension or anything the mind can conceive. In other words, you know what? We don't even know how to put into words the peace of God that comes into our lives once we've begun to pray. It's so amazing. It's so powerful. It's so life-transforming. It's so unique that it's hard to even like articulate what it is, but when it happens, it's powerful, it's liberating, it's amazing, and is a part of walking with Jesus Christ. I know at times when I get worried that I'll sometimes have trouble sleeping. Maybe you've felt that way before. And I've even gotten up in the middle of the night, and I've just said, man, I just got to talk to God about this because I'm just all tense, and I can't go to sleep, and I'm tossing and turning. And it is amazing because I can get up and pray for about 10 minutes and just talk to the Lord, and the Lord can just speak to my spirit or give me a scripture, give me some encouragement in some way. And, man, I can just go right back to bed, just, you know, conk out. Or I can lay there and toss and turn for 2 hours and just worry and fret and be obsessed about whatever else. And it is amazing the change that can begin to happen when God just begins to impress me to pray, and then I follow through with that. And it's like this burden is just lifted off and this release that begins to happen. It is a peace that surpasses all understanding. Doesn't make sense. And there's no substitute. There's nothing else in the world that is like the peace of God. There's no remedy. There's no drug. There's no therapy. There's no book. There's no worship service. I'm telling you, just when you get alone with God and experience his peace, it is the most liberating, powerful thing in the world, and that's the thing that begins to guard our hearts and our minds. Now, the scripture goes on and it says, not only do we focus our prayers, but we focus our actions. Our actions. Oftentimes, God will speak to us in prayer about what we need to do. And if you're going to be a person that gets on the joy ride, there is a sense in which we have to put into practice the things that God is teaching us. In fact, that's why we do sermon notes every single week, is because, you know, I want you to take something away from the sermon. If it's just one thing that you could apply to your life, if there's just one thing that you could apply to your marriage or to your work or to your family, you know, just something that God impressed on your heart, and you would do that one thing during the week, I just believe that our lives would be revolutionized. I mean, just over a short period of time. But I hope that you'll listen for, you know, one or two or maybe a couple of things that God would just put on your heart to do. Because the Christian life is very much about following through with the things that we know to be right. And oftentimes God will speak to us in prayer, but we don't implement what he's told us to do. Notice what Paul said in verse 9. Keep putting into practice all that you've learned from me and heard from me and saw me doing, and the God of peace will be with you. So Paul's saying, look at my example and the things you heard me teach about. You guys need to continue to keep on doing those things. And if you'll keep on doing those things, then you will have peace. Oftentimes we hear the right things and we sometimes even feel convicted. Oh yeah, I need to do that. But the follow through is not necessarily there. I'm a huge basketball fan and I love this time of year because I get to watch the NCAA tournament. And do we have any college basketball fans that are here today? All right, amen, yeah. You got to love it. My team is already out. We lost in the first round, but I'm still having fun. And you know the thing I've noticed about every great shooter, and it doesn't really matter if you're in high school or college or the NBA, if you're a great scorer, all great scorers do the same thing. You know what that is? They have great follow-through. They have great follow-through. And listen, you can get the ball and you can be a great dribbler. You can get open. You can jump out of the gym. But if you cannot follow through when you shoot the basketball, your likelihood of scoring very many points is pretty limited. It's what we call a shooter's touch. And when you begin to follow through and you have the correct form of shooting a basketball, the ball will hit the rim or the backboard, and it will actually fall into the basket when you have that shooter's touch oftentimes. There's a certain spin. If you just chunk the ball and just throw it like a baseball or a football, it doesn't have that type of spin on it, and it's not soft when it hits the rim, and therefore it oftentimes will not go in. So you can do everything right on the basketball court, but if you don't have the right follow-through, then your ability to score will be extremely limited. And I believe the same is true in the Christian experience. God wants us to do the right things, but he wants us to also follow through. It's all about the follow through. So as God speaks to us in prayer, we need to focus our actions. And our actions are to be submissive and obedient to Jesus Christ. He's the deal. In fact, I heard success in the Christian life defined one time, and I love this definition. And it simply says this: success in the Christian life is finding the will of God and doing it. Finding the will of God and doing it. And I wonder how many of us there are sitting here and we know the will of God and we know what is right, and yet we're still not there. We're still not doing it yet. We are hearers only and not doers. Paul said, listen, you want to get on the joy ride. You want to develop a great attitude about life? Follow through with what I say. Follow through with it. So focus your prayers and your actions, but also focus your thoughts. He moves on here in this last verse that we're talking about this morning, and he says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, let me say one more thing. As I close this letter, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right, and think about these things that are pure and lovely and admirable, and think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. You know, it's been said, if you change your mind, you'll change your life. And I think that's what Paul's saying here in Philippians 4:8. He's saying, change the way that you think. Think about these things. Don't think about these things. There's a filter. It's interesting that the mind is one of the least disciplined areas. When we realize we need to lose weight, oftentimes we will change our diet. When we realize we need to get in shape, we will oftentimes recognize we need to exercise more. When we need to make other changes, we see those changes that are there. But oftentimes in our thought life, we don't filter what comes into our mind. We just think, well, if this thought just comes in, then I just have to think about it. I just got to dwell on it. And Paul says, no. Don't do that. Just because a thought pops into your mind does not mean that you allow it to stay there. Throw it out. Get rid of it. Don't dwell on it. The only things that we should think about are the things that fit this eightfold filter. Whatever is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable and praiseworthy and excellent. Those are the things that we think about. But it is amazing how many times we just let thoughts come into our mind and we just let them stay there and we just become victim to those things. So we have thoughts of worry. And the thought comes into our mind, oh my goodness, this is going to go south. This is terrible. What am I going to do? And we just dwell. No, just stop. Begin to pray about it. Throw that thought out and say, you know what? I'm not going to think that way anymore. You may have grown up in a family where for generation after generation, everybody in your family thought a certain way. And you've just kind of learned to do that from your family. You know, you learn to worry because everybody else in your family worries. So that's a real stronghold for you. That's a weakness. That's a struggle. And you feel like you need to worry because that's just all you've ever seen before. But listen, you can break the pattern that has been established in your family. And the way you can break that pattern is you can say, I'm not going to think that way anymore. If the thought is not praiseworthy, if it's not holy, if it's not right, if it doesn't honor God, if it doesn't lift me up, I'm not going to think about it. I am only going to think about the things that admonish and build me up as a person listed here in Philippians 4:8. You know, they say it takes about 30 days to establish a good habit. I believe that if we would begin to think according to Philippians 4:8 for 30 days, we would see revolutionary change in our own minds. You know? We would begin to reform the habits. And sometimes habits that have been in place for a long, long, long time. Listen, you don't have to think the way that you have always thought. Jesus Christ died to give us a new life, and that new life includes a new mind. Christians should be the most positive, the most optimistic people on the face of the planet. Nobody has the hope that we do. And we ought to be the most hope-filled, optimistic, encouraging, inspiring people in the world. And anything short of that is us failing to really understand what the apostle is teaching us here. Dr. Walter Cavert did a study on worry that indicated that only 8% of the things people worried about were actually legitimate matters of concern. He said the other 92% were imaginary or never happened or involved matters in which people had no control anyway. In other words, about 9 out of 10 of the worries that you have in your life, you shouldn't worry about them. You shouldn't worry about them anyway because they're not going to happen. We have a vivid imagination, don't we? I mean, we can imagine things like crazy. And then there's other things that we worry about that we can't control anyway. So why do we need to feel sick about it? Why do we just need to worry about it all the time? And this clinical psychologist says that many of the things that we worry about are imaginary or never come true. I wonder how it would change our thinking if we begin to think correctly, as the apostle tells us here, and begin to think about the right things. Satan wants to dictate the thoughts in our mind, and he will put thoughts in our mind that will make us think things that are against what God's word says. Things that will lead us to be worrisome and to fear and to be discouraged and to be insecure. And all those thoughts, man, they're not from the Lord. So we have to begin to take our thoughts captive and to filter the things we're going to meditate on. I've even You know, as I've thought about this over the last few years, I've even changed a lot of my relationships. I used to have friends that were discouraging and, you know, they were depressed all the time. They were afraid and fearful. And, you know, I love everybody, but I'm talking about my close, intimate friends. And I began to make a change. I began to make a conscious effort to spend the majority of my time with people who were constantly positive, uplifting, encouraging, people that always saw hope in every situation. And you know what began to happen in my life? I began to think more positively, and I was greatly influenced by the other people that were around me. And man, I've got some friends, I may not talk to them all the time, but I may talk to them for 10 minutes, and it may just make my whole week because they've been so encouraging and so uplifting, and they're people that have learned the principles today of Philippians 4:8. And man, I want my life to be like that. We ought to be people that think correctly. So who do we hang around with? Some of us may need to make some new friends today. We may need to put different voices in our life that are going to encourage us and admonish us to love Jesus Christ and to think accordingly. Now, if you don't know what to meditate on, I want to give you three things, man, because if you will change your thinking, you will change your life. Here's a great thought right here. God is faithful, Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. God's not going to leave you out to dry. Man, God's always consistent. He's unchanging. He's always the same. He remains faithful even when we're faithless. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. God is big. Psalm 47, 7 to 9. God is big. I mean, he created the world. There's no problem. There's no anxiety. There's no issue that is too big for God. God is the deal. He's bigger than all of that. Remember that. God is big. And then also, God is good. Psalm 84:11. The Bible says, no good thing would God withhold from us whose walk is blameless. God is good. We serve a good God. We serve a good God. Those need to be the kind of things that we're constantly thinking about over and over and over again. So we need to filter out. We just need to make a change. Man, I'm not going to think this way, and I am going to think this way. I'm going to think about the things that bring encouragement and blessing and positivity and the things that are good and are worthy of praise and are excellent. I'm going to meditate. I'm going to focus my mind on those things, and I'm going to refuse to think about the things that bring worry and fear and insecurity and discouragement and everything else. Now, our thoughts determine our destiny. And that's why we got to develop a great attitude about life. God wants you to have a great attitude about life. And it begins by focusing our prayers. Take your worry list and turn it into your prayer list. Begin to pray about it. Then take what God shows you in prayer and put it into action. Don't be a person that just prays about things and just stares at the wall. Man, get your hands dirty doing the will of God. Get in the game. Respond quickly. Respond in an excited way to whatever God is saying. Find the will of God and do it. And then third of all, focus your thoughts. Refuse to think thoughts of discouragement and fear and being afraid of change. And instead, embrace this eightfold way of thinking described here in verse 8. When we do that, we begin to develop a great attitude about life. And listen, that is the life that God wants us to have. It is a life full of joy. It is a life full of peace and a life full of power. Let's just bow for a word of prayer. God, we thank you today for the inspiration of the scripture we've heard today. We thank you that you are a good God, that you are a big God, that you are a consistent God. We thank you that you are one that we can always count on, Lord, even when everything else in our lives may seem to be overwhelming and discouraging. We look to you today, God, to bring hope and faith and encouragement. And I pray today, God, you would do a revolution in our mind. I pray you would change our thoughts. I pray you'd change our attitudes. I pray you would inspire us to become people that are full of hope, people that are full of faith, people that are full of encouragement, Lord. I pray that would be what our lives would be about. And I pray that that would be the spirit of the Edge Church, because we know that we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. And we pray this all in your holy name. Amen.